This Most Tremendous Tale by Father Benedict Keeley. Long before the ancient and much-needed creedal formulas, defining the parameters of our basic beliefs, like the great councils of Ephesus and of Nicaea, the 1,700th anniversary of which we will celebrate in 2025, the very first creed was uttered during the drama of the Easter days. When the two disciples who encountered the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the others of their astounding experience, they heard the words, "Yes, it is true, Jesus has risen from the dead." That is the very foundation of our faith. If, as one inane clergyman said many years ago, the resurrection was merely a conjuring trick with bones, then we should all eat, drink, and be merry, and perhaps become Hare Krishna devotees. Yes, it is true. Christ is risen, and all has changed. Before that fact, we pause and ponder the cosmos changing, precursory fact, the very reason we celebrate Christmas, without which the resurrection itself would not have the foundation it required. We are in the in-between time from Christ's first coming at Christmas to his second and final coming on the last day. That phrase comes from the Anglican poet and clergyman, Malcolm Guite. What he means is that, since Christ's birth in Bethlehem, his first coming, we await his final appearance on the last day. All time since his birth is the in-between time, as we await his final coming, which will not be hidden and in a stable unknown to the great and the good. It will be terrifying. All those who denied him, condemned him, and continue to wound his sacred body with their sins and hatred. Let us never be so presumptuous as to say that is not us. Will, as the Advent Carol says, be deeply wailing. Our meditation for Christmas is the simple question of who and what we celebrate during the Christmas season. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, is God. When we genuflect as we do during the Creed on Christmas Day at the words, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us," we are acknowledging, both with our words and the physical attitude of worship and obeisance, that simple truth. Body and soul are, for a rare moment, in harmony. It is either true or untrue. There is no middle ground. The idea of the agnostic, a spiritual and intellectual sitting on the fence, is a feeble one. It lacks courage. The fence can also be a rather painful place to perch. Sir John Betjeman, the late English poet, put it rather well in one of his Christmas poems. When being considered for the position of poet laureate, the Guardian newspaper described him as arbitrary and irrelevant, something the Guardian would naturally know all about. Betjeman, with his characteristic good humor, enthusiastically agreed that he was irrelevant. Except that he wrote, "And is true? And is it true? This most tremendous tale of all. This most tremendous tale. The truth we affirm in the creed, the dogmas of the faith, the 2,000-year-old history of Christianity, the beauty created by Christian culture, the doctrine of the dignity of humanity, and finally the beauty of holiness exemplified in the lives of the saints. All of it depends on the answer to that question. And is it true? If it is, everything is changed. Life, morals, attitude, culture, politics, all of the mundane in the true sense of the word." Betjeman continues the poem posing the question that, if it is true, all that we think is important, not just for Christmas but throughout our lives, cannot, as he says, with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. Christmas is a time of joy, of hope, to truly merrymake, to be with friends and family, to acknowledge the truth that we acknowledge has changed our lives, and for the better. But this celebration, this joy, this in-between time that we who call ourselves Christians are living in, until his second coming, the day and the hour we do not know, this in-between time, is to prepare for his second coming. The Lord, we know, will suddenly enter his temple, as Handel portrays so powerfully in his Christmas oratorio. And who may abide the day of his coming? Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, writing in the 4th century, put it so well. Meditate on his words. He came first in the order of divine providence to teach men by gentle persuasion. But when he comes again, they will, whether they wish it or not, be subjected to his kingship. Christ, whose birth we do celebrate, is the only means of salvation for humanity. And all, in this in-between time, are offered the way of knowing him by gentle persuasion. The Church, as St. John Paul II used to say, never imposes but always proposes. Our persuasion, as St. Paul said, is not by means of rhetoric, but it is a gentle persuasion that Christ is the only way to human happiness in this life, and the only way to heaven. This is the mission of the church. This is the mission of all the baptized. It is the joyful message of Christmas, that it is true, and because it is true, we must show it, live it, and preach it. Not to conform to the world, but change the world. Not go with the stream, but swim upstream. We persuade by words, but most powerfully by the beauty of our lives. There is, however, the warning that the time for gentle persuasion will end. When he comes again, all, whether they wish it nor not, will be subjected to his kingship. We kneel during this Christmas season, in adoration before a crib, venerating a baby and celebrating his birth. One day, we will kneel before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, either wailing and lamenting, or worshiping wonderfully.